Well, thank you, Pastor Aaron. Wasn't too much of a journey. I only live in Rockingham, so it wasn't too bad. It's just great to be here with you again. We just love coming here and love seeing all the familiar faces, and we love seeing all the new faces. There's certainly something happening at Grace City Church at the moment. Amen? Let's just quickly pray. Lord, I just thank you this morning that you will speak. Lord, I ask that you use my mouth to share your word according to your will, not mine. Lord, we bless you and thank you for your goodness in this congregation. We thank you that as we've worshipped you with our singing, we've worshipped you with our offering, we've worshipped you at communion, and we worship you around your word. And we bless you that you have a plan and a purpose and a destiny for every person in this room, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Pastor Nace and I have recently moved churches. We've gone from Centrepoint Church, where we were at for 8 years and had a great 8 years there, but we've gone to help a church plant, or a church that was planted in the last couple of years, called Pneuma Church, which is in Perth. So we've gone to help there. So we bring greetings from Pastor Jason and his wife, Olivia Staggers, and they released us this morning to come and be with you. So it is great to be with you, and I believe that you're in the middle of a series called Walking in the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit is something that has been, I suppose, quite a journey for me, and maybe a journey for many of you who have served the Lord for a long time. And something I've come to know is that whether you gave your life to Jesus last weekend or whether you gave your life to Jesus 50, 60 years ago, we're all on a journey of learning how to walk in the Spirit. Different stages, different eras, but we're all on this incredible journey, this great privilege that God has given us to walk in this life, on this earth, according to his Spirit. Amen? Okay, let's have a look first at Galatians 5, a very well-known scripture as far as walking in the Spirit is concerned. And it says this, I'm going to read it out of the Amplified this morning because I just love how this translation works. It says, "But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responding to and controlled by and guided by the Spirit, then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh of human nature without God. For the desire of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh. Godless human nature. For these are antagonistic to each other, continually withstanding and in conflict with each other, so that you are not free, but are prevented from doing what you desire to do." Now that's fairly intense, isn't it? So there is a battle going on that take place around you and in you for your life of walking in the Spirit. So I believe that this topic that we're looking at this morning, walking in the Spirit, is right at the forefront of the battle for your Christian life. If the enemy could take you out from walking in the Spirit, he would be able to retain you and keep you in a life of bondage for the rest of your life. So learning how to walk in the Spirit is vitally important for every Christian, young and old. You know, even the Bible refers to this relational balance of flesh and spirit as a war. It says in 1 Peter 2:11, it says, "Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." So your flesh and your spirit can be at war within you. Who's recognized that? I certainly have. There can be a war going on within your spirit. Well, I've walked this journey as a Christian for 37 years. And learning to walk in the Spirit has been something that has been essential for my growth and development, and just purely to keep me in the things of God. But it has also been the most rewarding, the most liberating, the most powerful life lesson I've learned or relationship that I've come into is walking in the Spirit. And let me tell you, I'm not there yet, and none of us are. So we continue this journey of learning every day how to walk in the Spirit. But there's a couple of things that I've become aware of over those 37 years, or a couple of revelations that God has brought, or encounters that I've had with God that have really been helpful. Particularly helpful for me to be able to go to that next step, or take that next part of the journey into living a life of walking in the Spirit. But we first need to be aware that there is a battle in you. But fortunately, Jesus has set us up to win. The battle that's going on inside you can be won. It can be overcome. And Jesus has, through his death, has given us the right and also the equipment to be able to overcome and defeat in that war that might be raging within you. 2 Peter 1, verse 2 and 3 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ," of God and of Jesus our Lord, "as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." Through Jesus, you have everything you need, every divine power available for you to pertain in life and godliness through the power of the Spirit who lives in us. So be encouraged, but there is a battle. So for many years, it was the greatest battle of my life. And I used to read scriptures like this. This is Romans 8, verse 7. It said, "The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Now, I've read that and I went, oh no, I've got this carnal mind war going on within me. So I can't please God as long as I have that carnal mind war going on in my life. But I read on. "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Now, remember that. We'll have a look in a minute. "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his Spirit that dwells in you." Know this, that the life of walking in the Spirit is not graced upon just a few special believers or the chosen few. Every person who has given their life to Jesus Christ has been welcomed into a relationship of walking in the Spirit. So if you've received him, that's you. You don't have to be a certain age or a certain maturity in Christ to walk in the Spirit. It doesn't take you years to develop. In fact, you can start today. If you've never set about the journey of walking in the Spirit, today you can embark. So let's start here. For us to walk in the Spirit, we need to know these things. Firstly, that the Holy Spirit is a person. So you don't get a portion or a little bit to start with. You get the whole lot. So from the moment that you give your life to Jesus Christ and His Spirit comes to live in you, you get the whole lot. It's not broken down. He's not broken down into pieces because He's a person. So walking in the Spirit is about you and your relationship with Him, with the Holy Spirit. And like any relationship, walking in the Spirit is something that grows, like any good relationship grows. You get to know Him. You get to learn how He speaks. You get to know within you how are the ways that He speaks to you. You get to be sensitive to the things He's doing and start to listen more and get to know more. As we spend time with Him, you get to know Him. Learning how He works in you is where walking in the Spirit starts. See, Jesus' promise to His disciples was this. This is John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide or live in or dwell with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. So He is a person living in you. Now, I know this is common knowledge for many of you this morning, but if you've never considered that concept, I'd like you to consider it now. He is a person of the Godhead. He is the Spirit of God living within you. And He wants to abide with us forever. So let's just briefly look at who the Holy Spirit is in us. You ready? Here we go. This is John 14:26. It says, but the helper, so the Holy Spirit is our helper. He wants to help you with that situation. He wants to help you with your war against the flesh. He wants to help you with that battle. That's His purpose. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. So firstly, the Holy Spirit, according to Scripture, will be your helper in all areas of your life. Secondly, He's our teacher. It says in John 14:26, but He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. So He wants to teach you. He wants to guide you. And it says here that it says He'll bring all things to remembrance. So He's going to remind you of the things that you know of Christ. And He's going to remind you of the things that you've learnt in the Word. He's going to help you to remember. Thirdly, He's our source of truth. John 16:13 says, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. Now, truth is important. We need to know the truth. When you're trying to be guided by the Spirit in your life of walking with the Spirit, you need to know that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth.
You can trust him. Fourthly, he's our guide. And it says in John 16:13, it says, however, when he, the Spirit, has come, he will guide you in all truth. So if we're walking and we're trying to walk in the Spirit, you know that you can trust him to guide you in the purposes that God has for you. And fifthly and lastly, and this is very important, the Holy Spirit is our source of power. In Acts 1, it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. He is our source of power. So if you want to live a powerful Christian life, we need to be people who understand how to walk in the Spirit, how to daily walk in communion with the Holy Spirit, because God has given us the person of the Holy Spirit. So the foundation of living a life led by the Spirit or walking in the Spirit is relationship with the Holy Spirit. So if you haven't already, I'd encourage you to embark on that journey. If you've never asked the Holy Spirit to come and live within you, I just encourage you this morning to do that so that you can start this walk into his incredible purposes for you. And if you've never done that, we're going to give you an opportunity this morning later on. But we've established this morning that there is a war in you that rages against your life to walk in the Spirit. But when it comes to war, the Lord hasn't left us to battle on our own. But he's given us weapons for us to be able to fight and to win that battle. It says in 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. So we need to remember that we're at war, and spiritual forces and the darkness of demons and our flesh and our fallen nature will be continually doing battle against us, but we have weapons that are supernatural to fight that war. Says in Ephesians 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of this dark age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. So we need his armor. Can you say amen? Amen. So we're going to have a quick look at the armor, and then I'm going to just comment on a couple which I believe are vitally important for you to be able to walk effectively in the Spirit. This is Ephesians 6:14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you were able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Well, I just want to pull out a couple of these things and identify them and just chat to you about those, because these couple of things have been absolutely pivotal in my own personal relationship in walking in the Spirit. When I got breakthrough in these areas, I went to a whole new level of being able to walk in the Spirit. And the first one I'd like to look at is righteousness. And righteousness is identified as a weapon. First of all, stop trying to be righteous. I exhausted myself for years trying to be righteous, trying to attain righteousness, trying to feel righteous. And then I realized this, and the scripture states this in Romans 5, verse 17, says, "For by one man offense for if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through Christ Jesus." It's a gift. Stop trying to earn it. It is a gift. See, I never felt worthy to walk in the Spirit because the war was raging in my life and I felt like I was being defeated so often that I never felt worthy because of my lack of righteousness to walk in the Spirit. Well, I had a situation take place where I was so sick of this battle going on inside of me. And I was struggling with sexual thoughts. That was my battle. And I struggled and struggled. And I was so tired of that that I got before God on one day in my office. I laid down on the floor and I prayed God and commanded that those spirits would leave me. And I had like a self-deliverance with myself. And an interesting thing happened. I got up off that floor and for a first time in a long time, I felt righteous and it felt good. And I read this scripture and I realized that righteousness is God's. Righteousness has been purchased by Jesus and it's a gift. The scripture says it right there. And of the gift of righteousness will reign in life. I realized that righteousness was a gift. So I started to stand a little taller. And I enjoyed the righteousness that I was experiencing. And you know, I enjoyed that righteousness so much that I didn't feel like sinning because I was enjoying the righteousness I was experiencing. Now, I didn't earn that. I didn't do anything to achieve that. All I did was received it as a gift from the Spirit of God. I started to wake up in the morning and go, "I am righteous. I am righteous through Jesus Christ and the power of His Spirit in my life. I am righteous." That was a huge turning point. I felt like that I at least had the right to carry the presence of God. I felt like possibly I could walk in the Spirit because I was standing righteous. Now, it didn't mean I didn't ever sin, but I learned that righteousness was a gift and it's yours to receive, so that you can walk in the Spirit as well. Remember, 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." He wants to keep you feeling unrighteous. Okay? He wants to keep you feeling like you're not worthy to walk in the Spirit. I found this with righteousness that I've received from God is that when I sin, I repent quickly. Don't spend 2, 3, 4 days wallowing in self-pity about sin. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do. Because in my life, I found that I was spending as much time, if not more time, wallowing in self-pity about my sin than I was feeling righteousness because I dwelt on the sin. But if we can stand up, receive His righteousness as a gift, and walk on, we'll spend more time feeling righteous and more time walking in the Spirit than we will feeling like we're a filthy sinner. Do you understand what I'm saying? That becomes our norm. That becomes the normal. So if you sin, repent quickly. Get up straight away. And you know what? I'm sure that the devil gets sick of you in the end. Because, oh, this guy, gee, he sins. He just gets straight back up and praises God and gives God glory. And let me tell you, the more you live in righteousness, the less you'll sin because you love the righteousness. 2nd, the second thing I want to bring out about the weapons is the sword of the Spirit or the Word. Now this is vitally important because you need a foundation of truth in your life that doesn't shift. So if we're going to be walking in the Spirit and making minute by minute decisions on what is God's will and what is God calling us to do, we need to know what is truth and lie about His Word. His Word needs to be in us. If we're going to walk through this life with the Spirit of God and He's reminding us, we need to have the Word within us so that He can remind us. A foundation of truth that doesn't shift is vitally important. I've said this to you before, I think. I can't quite remember, but I'm 62 years old. I'm nearly 63. And in the last 62 years, the only thing that hasn't changed is this. This is our source of truth. See, I've changed. I've become an older man. I've lost my hair. Society has changed. Family life has changed. Education has changed. How we receive information has changed. Politics has changed. Entertainment has changed. Music has changed. Science has changed. Things we believed years ago, we don't believe now. Even the weather has changed. But the only thing that has remained constant is this. We need to have a foundation of truth that does not shift. People out there are living by whatever they feel. That's not reliable. If we're going to be people who walk in the Spirit, we need to know the Word, or getting to know the Word. Start somewhere. Because the Spirit will never tell you to do anything that's contrary to this. So how are you going to know that? How are you going to discern what is you or the Spirit of God if you don't know what the Word says? The Word is vitally important. And the third thing that I want to bring out is prayer. Pray for strength to stand. Pray for strength to overcome that war that takes place between your flesh and your spirit. Pray for revelation and understanding, and pray for the desire of intimacy for you and God. You know, every morning we should be praying, God, today I want to walk in your Spirit. Holy Spirit, come with me. Every second, every moment, let me be aware of you. And just something else I would like to touch on, which is mentioned 29 times in Scripture, so this is important, but I've found this very instrumental in our life of walking in the Spirit. So we need to understand this. And that is our conscience. What part does our conscience play in walking in the Spirit? You see, God has placed a conscience in everyone. It's amazing how many people do things like murder people, but then have this moral sort of idea of what is right and wrong. So everyone has a conscience. And your conscience doesn't inherently know what is right and wrong. Your conscience is not the Holy Spirit. Okay? But we can use our conscience. It's a God-given gift to work with the Holy Spirit. See, I look at it this way. My conscience is like a computer. It operates according to how it's been programmed, to what's been programmed into it. So your conscience gets programmed by your family values, your childhood, what you were told was right and wrong, your past experiences, your hurts and your struggles. Your conscience gets programmed by cultural norms, You only have to travel overseas to see how programmed Australians are by cultural norms. You go to some countries of the world, sin is just not thought of. You know, they do all sin-filled things all the time, and their conscience doesn't tell them that that's wrong. So cultural norms affects our conscience. Friends and associates can influence your conscience. Is it okay to drink? How much do we drink? You know, I know lots of people who drink too much and don't think, their conscience doesn't pull them up on it. And interestingly, government even can adjust your conscience. I noticed in the 1960s we had a thing here, as many of you remember, called the Keep Australia Beautiful campaign. Do you remember that? 1966 it started. And you know what? The government of Australia reprogrammed the conscience of every Australian by a campaign to keep Australia beautiful. You know, prior to that, we would chuck things out the window of the car and wouldn't think any of it. Our conscience wouldn't say that's not the right thing to do, that I've just thrown my McDonald's wrappers out the window. But these days, if you have a functional conscience, you won't throw your McDonald's wrapper out the window while you're driving. Some people do, but obviously their conscience isn't right. You don't throw your cigarette butts out of the window, because the government has adjusted your conscience in such a way where you believe that's not the right thing to do. So our conscience is a very, very valuable tool for you to use and the Holy Spirit to use to be able to keep you walking in the Spirit. It just needs to be programmed according to the Word. There is no other source of truth. Don't make it up as you go along. Allow your conscience to be programmed by the Word. See, the great thing about your conscience is like this minute-to-minute reminder, you know. It's just very helpful. I can remember I went through a season of my life a while ago where I was still battling with sexual thoughts and it had affected the way that I felt about my righteousness and affected my ability to step up to ministry or to, you know, to grow as a Christian, really, because I was just stuck in this war, in this battle between my flesh and my spirit. And I came before God in a period of time and I prayed one prayer for what it was definitely days, it might have been weeks, could have even been months, I can't remember now, but I just prayed, God, teach me how to walk in the Spirit. Teach me how to walk in the Spirit. Teach me how to walk in the Spirit. God, I need to be able to walk in the Spirit. I need to be delivered from this battle. Teach me how to walk in the Spirit. I no longer want to sin and just feel so unrighteous. Lord, teach me how to walk in the Spirit. Because I realize that Galatians 5:16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So I realized that walking in the Spirit was the key that I needed to my deliverance from the flesh. What happened? An interesting thing happened. Is that I prayed this prayer for day after day after day, for week after week. And God's told me one word. And you know what that word was? Fast. And I went, really? What, God, what's that got to do with walking in the Spirit? So I thought, well, I believed it came from God. It was very definite word spoken into my life. So I thought, okay, we'll give that a go. So I'd fasted a couple of days before and I struggled with it. I hated it. It was really uncomfortable. I got sore legs and sore heads, and it was just a horrible thing, you know. So I wasn't a great faster, that's for sure. But I thought, God, if that's what you're saying, I'm going to fast. So I fasted. And the first day got to about lunchtime. And I started to, you know, feel a bit uncomfortable in my body and got to dinner time and I started to have really bad pains in my legs and I'm thinking, oh, I feel terrible. And I had a headache and I'd been drinking lots, so I wasn't dehydrated, but I was starting to feel really bad. And the next day came along and, you know, no breakfast and no morning tea and no lunch. And by lunchtime, I'm starting to feel really bad, and I was feeling exhausted and what I was really struggling. And I noticed that my flesh is starting to speak to me, and it's going, come on in, you need to eat. Just a packet of Twisties or maybe a hamburger. No one will know. You know, just a hamburger. And I noticed that my flesh was becoming very loud. And my flesh is going, Ian, you need to eat. You need to eat. I'm feeling terrible here. You need to feed me. And I went on like this, and I continued to fast for another day, and that voice just got louder and louder and louder. But then I noticed that at the same time, there was a peace in my spirit. And I took my eyes off for a moment the voice that was shouting at me in my flesh, and just took the time to listen to what my spirit was saying. And you know what my spirit was saying? I'm in control here. And I thought, wow. And I continued to listen. My spirit's going, no, 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 no. I'll feed you when I'm ready. God's called us to fast, so we're fasting. So I'll feed you when I'm ready. And it was an interesting experience. It's like I started to notice the voice of the flesh and how that worked and how that screamed at me. And I started to notice the voice of the spirit that had a beautiful peace about it. And my body, after a few days, started to say things like this. I'm dying. You're killing me. If you keep doing this, I will die. And you know what my spirits were saying? Well, I could kill you, yes. I'm in control here, and I'll fast till I'm finished. I noticed that the voice of my spirit had an incredible authority and calm to take authority over the voice of my flesh. And you know, through that one experience, I believe that God showed me more about walking in the Spirit than any other thing that I had learned previously. If we will listen to our spirit and also listen to what our flesh is saying, we will find that they're two very, very different things, and that there is an authority in your spirit combined with the Spirit of God that can overcome. And look, I realized from that one encounter that I can overcome the flesh with eating, and I can fast for 21 days without eating and I don't even feel bad. I've realized that I can overcome my sexual desires because that's just another one of the flesh's things. So if I can overcome eating, I can definitely overcome that. And I found that through that same process of thought or revelation and understanding, that I could overcome anything through the power of the Spirit that was working in me. From that experience, I learned to separate me, Ian, the soul and the spirit, from the flesh that I'm carrying around in. See, I'm a new creation, right? But I still battle with the vehicle. This is all it is. It's just a vehicle, but it has desires. It tries to keep me alive. It has desires. It wants to do things. But for me to walk in the Spirit, I have to understand it and how it works and what it'll say and be able to appropriately counter the things of the flesh. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, Paul understood this because he said in Romans 7, verse 19, for the good that I will to do or want to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. he had realized that we need to separate ourselves from the sin that dwells in us and the revelation of our own flesh. For years, I thought that the flesh was me, and it's not. I'm going to leave this in a box. And me is going to continue on with God. And he says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I discipline my body. You see where the fasting comes in? I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. I force my body to put up with my spirit, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. For me, that was the most important revelation I had as far as my walk in the spirit. I asked God for weeks, how do I walk in the spirit? And that's what he showed me. You are not your flesh. I am me. The real me is soul and spirit. A spirit that lives in a vehicle. But I am in control and I need to be in control of that vehicle. Okay, I'm just going to give you some things. Just getting ready to close. Golly. Getting ready to close. Things to do to walk in the Spirit. These things have helped me. Wake up every day and ask the Holy Spirit to walk with you. Say, I want to hear you. I want to see you. I want to smell you. I want to taste you. I want to experience you in all of my senses in whatever way I can. Secondly, we need to subdue and resist the flesh and its unholy desires. So you are in control. You just need to take that control. Tell it isn't in control. I sometimes do that. Sorry, flesh, you're not in control here. I'm in control. You don't take instructions from your car. It's your vehicle. Well, yes, you do, actually. Everything beeps and lights and, yes, your door's open, your seatbelt's not on and shut up. But what I'm saying is that you control your vehicle. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to get where you were going. Be quick to repent, okay? That's really good. Don't spend 50% of your life wallowing self-pity. Just be quick to repent and go on. Stand in the righteousness that God's purchased for you. You know, actually do it. Stand in the righteousness and say, God, thank you for your righteousness that you've made me righteous through your blood. Abide in him. Make sure you abide. Stay in him. Abide means to live, okay? So every moment, every second, try and stay aware of what the Spirit is doing in you. Abide. Now, be aware of the small. And I've learned this a lot from Denise because she's when she preaches on this, she talks about the shopping trolley. Now, do you get your shopping, go to your car, unload your shopping into your car and leave the trolley in the car park next to you? Good. Well, your conscience, a lot of people didn't say anything. There was a slight murmur that said, no, we don't do that. Your conscience has been programmed to say, no, that's not okay. And you see, the Spirit of God is exactly the same. If we sometimes waiting for a lightning bolt from the Spirit of God, the big things. Well, that's not the way the Spirit of God trains us. The Spirit of God trains us with the little things, the day-to-day, the minute-by-minute, I need to pick that up. No, I won't throw this out my car window. You know, that's how the Holy Spirit trains us to be obedient. And whether they're big things or they're small things, if our conscience is aligned to the Word of God, our conscience and the Holy Spirit will be constantly working together to keep us on track. Do you understand? The small things, that's really important. Don't just wait for the big miracles. Obey him in the small. Get really detailed. Don't become obsessive, but get really detailed about how you listen to God in what's okay and what isn't okay. And that's how he'll teach you. Live with an aligned conscience and live in the Word. make sure you have the word. I'd just like the worship team to come and join me, if that's okay. You know what the great thing about this is? You don't need an advanced diploma in theology to get started on this. This is a decision that you can make right now. This is yours. It's a personal decision for you to make. Am I going to live a life of walking in the Spirit, or am I going to continue to war in my flesh for the rest of my life, feeling unworthy and unrighteous? No. This is a battle you can win. Jesus said you could win this. So this morning, I'd encourage you, yep, you guys can go for it, to make a decision to walk in the Spirit. Amen? Okay, let's pray. And I'm going to pray for you. And Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your goodness. We just thank you that you're here speaking to every heart right now. Lord, I just bless you that you are starting to show people things and make people aware of things that they're warring with in their own lives. Lord, I thank you that your power and authority is coming upon them to deliver them totally from these things so that they can walk in the Spirit with you. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity. Just as I was preparing this message, just keep your eyes closed for a minute. I believe that there's a couple of people here this morning who really need to hear this. It's like you have this struggle going on and there's a desperation in your spirit, and it's like you've been feeling, well, am I ever going to be set free from this war? The Bible says that if we will walk in the Spirit, we will not obey the dictates and the lusts of the flesh. This is our avenue to righteousness. God wants to set you free. There is hope, there is freedom, and there is liberty. Lord, we just ask you to come and heal our minds, heal our hearts, restore our souls. Show us the areas that we're not walking in the Spirit with. Let us leave those things behind. Let us stand righteous in your righteousness that you purchased for us as a gift. I just sense this morning, just while our eyes are closed, just that we need to say that. That we need to say, I am righteous. Come on. I am righteous. I am righteous. I am righteous. I am righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ that sets me free. I am righteous. If you're here this morning and you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ, if you've never stepped into that place of relationship with Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity this morning, because really that's where it starts. When we accept his free gift of eternal life, he comes and lives within us and his Spirit speaks to us and guides us. So if you would like to receive that relationship today that is a free gift, I'd like you to just wave and let me know who you are so I can pray with you. I won't pull you out. You can stay in your seat. Is there anyone here this morning who would like for the first time to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord? Just so we don't miss anyone, let's pray this prayer together. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died for me, that you died so I can be free. Thank you for your incredibly valuable gift of eternal life. And I receive that this morning I receive your love. I receive your care. I ask that you forgive me for every sin of my past. And I choose to walk forward today, leaving those sins behind. I thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.